Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Shmiras HaLashon class learning. We are learning Le'ilui Nishmas Tzvi Gershon Ben Yoav V'Chana Alav Hashem is Nesham Shev and Aliyah in the merit of our learning. We are also learning with your permission as it's Chosur Foshleim Bracha Avigaya Basrachel Gitzah Basoch She'archa Le'Yisrael. So let's begin with the Tzvi Al-Adiba. Could you believe we're less than 1 week away from Rosh Chodesh Kislev? Tvila al hadibur. Ribono sha'olam, yehi ratzon mefanecha al racham v'chanin shetizekeni hayim v'chol yam lishmar piyu l'shoni milashen hara v'chilis v'ezarim l'dabar filu al ishi achid v'kol shekein al kol yisrael o al chelek mehem. Kol shekein mili Yisra'im al midosav shal kosh baruch hu. V'ezahar mili dabar divrei sheker chanufa machol kes ka'as gai va'onas tvarim halbanas panim leitzanes v'chol dibur asur v'zakeni shalol v'dabar kim dabar hatzarich l'inyane gufi v'nafshi v'yu kol ma'asai v'dibrei l'shem shamayim halavai. Amin. Okay, let's open up, please. We're on page 72. I was going to say any questions or comments, but I guess that's a joke, but you never know. Okay.
Yeah, page, I was thinking about the name Koach. And like when
about what?
Koach. You know Koach? Pashas Koach?
Yeah.
So like you see the letters, like the kaf is going down, like he brought people down. Like I was thinking
about we're talking about Machlokes. Very nice.
So like his name, like it just came into my mind. Yeah,
that's very interesting. Korach, like he extended, he pulled down the machlokas.
And the ches is also open.
Reish is open, yeah. And the ches really stands on its own two feet. Because it has two points. Yeah. Very nice.
Yeah.
And that's the example that Chazal gave, machlokas shelo l'shem shemayim, ein sofa l'iskayim, korach v'kal adaso. Very nice, beautiful. See why I say questions and comments? Sometimes I have to stop and ask. Very nice. Okay, so we're on page 72, ladies. Excuse me, I'm so sorry. We were talking about in the paragraph before, we're really on the second paragraph. I'm going to actually start with a story, or maybe some way in we'll do a story. And that is that when man comes down to this world, he has a great treasure trove of 613 things to deal with, but he needs schusim. And every mitzvah is a schus for another mitzvah. We spoke about that last time, mitzvah goris mitzvah. And someone who's involved in mitzvahs will be led to do more and more mitzvahs. And we gave examples of that last time, etc. Okay. So let us go on. Kitzrichim anuleida. So I'm going to quote a story soon from this. I don't know if anyone has this new sefer, Zera Shimshon. I was recommending a few of my classes. It's on the Parsha, and then he has inspirational stories related to the Maisa. I read a different book by him, Rabbi Nachman Seltzer, which I enjoyed very much. So when I started to put that out, I bought it. Okay. Kitzrichim anuleida. We need to know. She kishem shebinyane olam hazeh yishkam inyanim shadam mis'asha yadam. So just like in this world, in Olam Hazeh, there are different ways that a person can become wealthy. You know, you invest in the stock market, you go to work, you buy a building, I don't know, you buy a lottery ticket. Maybe there are ways, hishtadlis, that you could become wealthy in Olam Hazeh. So too, everything in the spiritual realm has a parallel in the physical realm. Okay, it's very, very interesting. Everything in the spiritual realm has a parallel in the physical realm. Kein b'inyanei nitzchius, so too in matters of eternity. And we're talking about spiritual matters. Yesh kamechal ke hatikun biyadoshel kosh baruch hu. There are matters of tikun, a rectification, a repair. How is it translated in English? Remedies, okay? That are in the power of, in the hand, so to speak, of a kosh baruch hu. Shemisha matzachim be'enav. Someone who finds favor in the eyes of Hashem. Mazmin lo osam ha'inyanim. This is what we said last time. Mitzvah goreres mitzvah. When you act a certain way and you want to do mitzvah, so Hashem prepares or brings to your hand the ability or the opportunity or the chance, if you will, to do more mitzvah. So Hashem prepares for you those matters of nitzchius, those matters of mitzvahs, because He sees how you want to be. So it's frightening that one who speaks lashon hara. So Hashem sees how you want to be. So He'll put you into the lines, then into the matzav, where you'll be given opportunities to speak lashon hara. But Hashem sees that someone who is trying to watch his korach hadibur, so He will remove from you obstacles. So the way in which we behave in the physical world is the way that Hashem prepares for us, so to speak, in the spiritual world. V'zocha la'alos b'mala gedola al yadam. So you'll be zocha to have a great maila, a great spiritual ascension through the way Hashem prepares for you the positive opportunities. The inyan mitzias hachein. And finally, chein talui behischazkuk b'kiyum haTorah. What is the way that you find chein in the eyes of Kadosh Baruch Hu? Being strengthened and keeping Torah b'chol levavo with all your heart. La'asos nachas ruach lefanav yisparach. So if you want to know the way to procure opportunities for mitzvos for yourself, the way is to find chen in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do you find chen in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? By keeping the Torah with all your heart. So of course what came to mind for me when I was reading the sentence of Inyan Mitzias HaChen. Chen is the word favor or charm, you can't really explain it. And then the next sentence uses the word nachas. First two letters are nun ches. So it's very, very interesting. Right before we really meet Noach in Parshas Noach, the Pasuk tells us, okay, last Pasuk in Bereishis tells us, does anyone remember the last Pasuk in Bereishis? The very last pasuk of morning in Bereishis is V'noach matzachin ve'enei Hashem. That's the last pasuk in Parshas Bereishis. It is Perek Vav pasuk Ches for your reference, chapter 6, verse 8 for your own reference. After the Torah tells you that the earth has become corrupt. Corrupt means they're not following at least what the basic morality that the Ribbono Shel Olam expects of them, and after that Hashem wants to destroy everything. Emcha es ha'adam asher barasi, I'm going to destroy the man which I created from the face of the earth, from man to beast, from crawling to flying. I regret that I made them, says Hashem. And the next pasuk is Noach matza chen. If you look at the name Noach, it's nun ches. Well, if you turn nun ches around, what does it read as? Noach, chein. Noach was saved primarily. The first thing we're told about Noach, ladies, it's compelling, because when we talk about Noach, we usually start with Noach ish tzadik tamim haya b'doras of asa alokim salech Noach, which is perek vav pasuk tes. And that's the first pasuk of Parshas Noach. So the first thing it tells you is he's a man. That ish denotes an upstanding Torah. It doesn't only mean male. It means Kulam anashim, the meraglim were all kasherim. Ish is a compliment, tzaddik is a compliment, tamim is a compliment, bidorasov is a compliment according to some because it was in his generation. And finally, he walked with Hashem. Except that the first thing it really tells us about Noach is not that. The first thing it tells us about Noach is Noach was a person who found chen in the eyes of Hashem. And beautiful, you know what Targum Unkla says? V'noach ashkach rachimin kadam Hashem. Rachimin is what? It's Aramaic, but reish ches mem yud nun. Rachamim, because Targum Unkos is not a translation, it's an interpretation of the Torah, and because Noach was a person of chen in the eyes of Hashem, he evoked rachamim in the Ribbono Shel Olam. So Noach is a person of chen, and look what Noach brought upon himself, even though in the generation of Avraham, says Sam, he would be nechshav keklum. Nevertheless, because he was a person of chen, look at the opportunity he cultivated for himself. What did he literally do? He literally saved himself. It was a life-saving situation because what's the first Torah? The Torah tells you about him. He's a person of chen. And because he's a person of chen, he's a tzaddik, he's an ish, he's a tamim, he walks with Elohim, and therefore Hashem saved him. But look at the power of chen to procure opportunities, life-saving opportunities for yourself, both in the physical realm and in the spiritual realm. So imagine the power of a person of chen. A chen is really not a word that you could translate. Because when you see a person with chayin, you know that that person has chayin, except that it's very hard to give a definition of chayin, except that Targum Unkos helps and says that therefore he evokes rachamim in the Ribbono Shel Olam. So the result of chayin is that Hashem will bestow compassion and mercy on us. Esther matzah chayin ve'enei kol ro'eha, another person of chayin, and I just thought something even better. Her chayin didn't only save herself, who was she able to save? All the Jews, Yehudim Haisa Ora V'Simcha V'Sasa V'Ikar. It was supposed to be L'Hashmi La'Rugu La'Abeis Kol Yehudim Minar V'Adzakin Tafanashim. And her chayin, and she found favor in the eyes of Achashverosh Mikol HaBesulos. And her chayin not only saved herself, Noach managed to save himself and his family, but her chayin saved the entire people, the entire nation. So who could imagine the power? Inyan mitzias hachein ta'ulu b'his chasuk b'kim atar b'chol avava la'asos nachas ruach l'fanav yisparach. Imagine the nachas ruach, nachas, Noach, the nachas ruach we bring to the Ribbono Shel Olam through being a person of chen who follows Torah, not only to save ourselves, but you don't know what your ability has to save someone else in Klai. So you don't know someone else's yeshua could be as a result of something positive that you did in the spiritual realm. So unbelievably powerful. Okay, so any questions or comments? It's beautiful, it's important, very, very important. Halavai should be able to remember this on a day-to-day basis. Who's the one who said we need this class every day? We've said it before here, it's true, me for sure. U'inyan lashon hara, halo yadua ma de'isa b'midrash. And in regard to the matter of lashon hara, I also want to tell you a story. Okay, it's also well known when it says in the Midrash, I never heard this Midrash, it's according to the Chavetz Chaim, it's well known to the Chavetz Chaim, it's maybe not so well known to the layperson, but you'll tell me if you heard it before. Kishehilshin, when he spoke Lashon Hara, Lashon, you see the word there? Amatzia Kohen Beis al Amos Hanavi, Lufnei Melchi Ravim Ben Yosh. Yeravim was a bad king, and Amatzia the Kohen came to Yeravim, and he said, you know what Amos is saying about you? Kashar Alech Amos, Amar Becherav Yamus Yeravim V'Yisrael, Gola Yigla Me'ad Maso. Amos is prophesizing, and he's saying, Yeravim, you'll die by sword, and Israel will go into Galus, into exile from a part of their land. So Yeravim, the wicked king, said, Lo Amar Oso Tzadikach. Look what he said. The righteous person couldn't have said this. V'im Amar Lo Mipi Atzmo Amar. And here it's an even higher majiga. It's one thing to say he didn't say it, I'm totally not makabel, but then it's another thing to be able to say, if someone did say it, I know it's not from him, it's from Hashem. It's an unbelievable thing to say. If somebody Chalila speaks negatively about you, and it's painful, and it's upsetting, and it's something you don't want to hear, to be able to say, I know he didn't say it. Who said it? Hashem said it. You know, even we see it in last week's parasha. It's very, very interesting. Esul and Laman were Rasha'im. And yet, when Eliezer goes back, and he meets Rivka by the well, and he gives her the presents, you have a place for me to sleep, you have straw, we have everything, come home. And he goes, and he tells her family the whole story, okay? And he tells her family the whole story, and he asks them, one second, and he asks if he could take Rivka with, one second, I'm sorry. Look at this. So he says, if you will do chesed and emes with your master, tell me. Like, in other words, if you don't tell me, I'm leaving. Can she come with me? Can the girl come with me? Vayan Lavan uvesoda rasha'im. Lavan ha'arami. Lavan the trickster. Lavan who made Yaakov's life so miserable. Vayoma. You know what they reply to him after he tells his whole story? He says, I can't eat till I tell my story. From here we learn, what do we do by Pesach Seder? We don't eat till we tell the whole story of the miracle. What does he say to them? It's unbelievable. They're Rasha'im. May Hashem yatsa hadavar. That's Lavan and Besuel. They see the Hashkacha. May Hashem yatsa hadavar. It's so interesting that davar is matter and also word. And then the next thing they say relates to speech. Lo nuchal daber elecha ra or tov. We can't say anything. There's nothing for us to say. Clearly this is Hashkacha. You happen to meet the right God. Well, you made a condition of chesed. Sar was a baal's chesed. She's offering you water. That's all they have to say. May Hashem yatsa davar lo nuchal daber elecha ra tov. Daber, davar. We have nothing to speak here. Ra, we can't speak. Tov, we can't speak. Our mouths are closed because it's so apparent that this is from the Ribono Shel Olam that we have nothing to say. It's unbelievable. So too, Yeravim, the wicked king, said, even if the tzaddik did say this, which I don't even believe he said, I'm not makal, but even if he did, lo mi pi atzmo amar, this is what really Lavan and Besuel, Rashem, so when Hashkach is so apparent, even a Rasha can't deny it. It's not possible, mi pi al kosh baruch hu, it's the exact same thing, mi pi al kosh baruch hu, me Hashem yatsa hadavar, davar is the matter and davar is word. Hashkacha declared ben ploni leploni. Rivka's going to marry Yitzchak. There's nothing for me to say. But Amar Kosh Baruch Hu. So what was the result, the reward for that? In this case, Lavan and Besuel, what were they zocha to? I just thought of something interesting. Okay, ready? Yes, just say it. They give her a bracha before she leaves. Vayivarchu es Rivka, vayomru. They give her a bracha and they say, what's a bracha? You know the bracha? It's famous. You bless the collar with, by the bedekin. Achosenu at hayi la'alfe rivava v'yirash zarech esha arsonav. You shall become thousands of myriads. You should be the mother, says Rashi. What does it mean? At hayi la'alfe rivava. The bracha to Avram should be through you and not to another woman. V'yirash zarech esha arsonav. Your offspring, your progeny should inherit the gates of their enemy. So it's very interesting. I'm sort of shy shach to bring this up in a shir. Who said this bracha? Laban and Besuel. Oh, I just thought of something. Whoa, Baruch Pokeach Ivrim. So the question is, the kasha is, why do you give a kala of all the brachas you could say in the Torah? Of all the brachas you could say in the Torah, that's what you give the kala. Who said this bracha? Oh, I just thought of something. Who said this bracha? Laban and Besuel. That's what you want to give the kala bracha. You have nothing but, you have a rachacha Hashem v'yishmracha, yar shampana v'ylech v'chuneka, abamibar peregvah, birgos kohanim. You couldn't find one thing in the chamisha chumshei Torah to tell the girl, go to Megillus Rus. Find when she gets married. This is the bracha. So it's a kasha. So he said it's a question, so I don't remember if he really answered or what he answered, but it was a lingering question. Oh my gosh. But based on our learning, perhaps we could answer as follows. Whoa. We're not blessing her with rishus, obviously. Why are they zocha to this? Oh my gosh. Because even on the level that they were on, they were zocha to recognize Hashkacha Hashem. May Hashem yatza hadavar, the word. It's not the thing came from Hashem, but this word has been declared by Hashem. I just read in Rav Biederman, this week's parasha is getting better. I just read in Rav Biederman, why is an engagement called a vart? Vart, Rav Biederman writes, is literally means a word. Vart means, that's why you, when you say at the table, I have a nice vart. When you think about it, you have a nice vart to say at the table, you're going to a vart, excuse me, you're going to an engagement party. What's a vart? So Rav Ali Melech Biederman brings down that vart literally means word. You're acknowledging that this shidduch came by the word of Hashem. This fits it, this is perfect for the answer. So why do you give the kala at her wedding, she's going to the chuppah, the blessing of Laban and Besuel, because as Rasha'im, as Rishus as they were zochet to Rivka come from, and they were able to recognize Hashkach Hashem when it was apparent. And maybe that's the bracha, besides the fact that she should inherit her enemies and her children, she should become the myriad of thousands and continue the continuity of Knesset Yisrael. It's really the bracha, the ability to see Hashkach Hashem at all times in life. It's the ability to perceive Davar Hashem is controlling this. Lo nucha ledaber tovara. Ayid should be able to look at Hashkach and say, I have nothing to say. The Ribbono Shel Olam, this is what you want. And if Laban and Besuel could say that, and they were zocha to have Rivka come from them, then we should be zocha. And not only that, Laban is then zocha that his daughters should marry Yaakov and become the mothers of the Shiftei Kara. What is chus? As a Rashi, we always talk about love and Arami and love agarti, tarik mitzvah shavarti. We're coming up to that story soon. But what was he zocha to? Because the first thing he says in response to the story is, may Hashem yatza hadavar. Davar, vart. This is by God's word. Lo nucha daber. We can't say anything. And a Jew should be able, that's the bracha. You should always be zocha to see Hashkach Hashem and to recognize that you can't, you have no say ultimately. The only thing you can do is find chayin in the eyes of Hashem. He will give you opportunities for more and more mitzvahs, which is how they were blessing Rivka, which is the person that she became. And therefore, how appropriate that we look at them and say, even they could recognize Hashkach. And therefore, you tell the Kala everywhere you go in life and everything that happens to you. Sometimes it's going to be smooth sailing. Sometimes it's going to be a little bumpy in the ocean, in the sea. You're not going to always hit. You're going to hit sometimes high winds. You should always be able to say, oh my gosh, I love this. I'm telling to myself. May Hashem yatza hadara. This word is from Hashem. Yes. You started to say something.
No, I was just thinking, like, you know, that means that, like, the takeaway that I would take from this is that even a rasha or somebody that does a chait or is not such a good person, you don't know, behind the scenes, maybe he is a good person because he could say good words or have good intentions, or, like you said, that even from them, they, the bracha that you give is from someone that's in a rasha, but you don't know, maybe they deserved other things, or Hashem put those words in their mouth, so you shouldn't write anybody off, basically, even a rasha, or even someone that does chayt, or like that, don't, like we're very ready to judge people, so don't judge, because you don't know, they might be...
Okay, you're bringing a totally different answer. We're certainly not talking about judging anyone. That's
not what I'm saying, but from their words, because they might have better words than we, even, even though they're a rusher or whatever, Hashem puts the words in their mouth, so they might have better ideas or better, you know.
So when you say Hashem puts the words in their mouth, you're getting that becomes very complicated. You're touching upon Bechira and Yediya, and that's a whole other parsha. We have to recognize that Hashem puts words in. But Lamais, a person is Bechira in regard to what they say. Because if I say, that's a dangerous statement, if I say Hashem puts words in my mouth. And that means when I talk Lashon Hara, Hashem put words in my mouth. When I become a person of Kas, Hashem put words in my mouth. I discussed it once. I have a shiur on Bechira versus Yediyah. It's very complicated in Yen that Chazal have discussed and debated about. I consulted with Rabbi Bender, and I emailed Rabbi Bender, I spoke to Rabbi Tzinspiegel, shiur over Fush, and I spoke to my brother, prepared a whole shiur on it. Lamai said, we have to worry about our Bechira, and Hashem will worry about his Yediyah. I'm just commenting on the comment that Hashem puts words into their mouth. We do have to be careful with that statement, because I have Bechira Chafshis to say what I want to say. Well, I have to recognize that what I hear is from Hashem, but what I choose to speak is in my hands.
I'm not even talking about really more what they're speaking. I'm talking about that we write people off, like, you know, because they're a Russian, they don't look like us, or they don't act like us right away. But you never know. That might be someone that's bringing something to the table.
So you're right. I'm not sure how we're getting to that from the Vart that we shared. I didn't imply it all, writing people off.
Because you look at Lava and Besuel and you think, okay, what could they really contribute? Okay, it's true. Rivka came from them. But then you see that they have this fuss that the brachas of a kala.
That's right.
Them. So that's what she's saying. That you never know when you look at somebody
okay.
what they could have.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. I just want to. I did not. Imply in any way that we should write anyone off. I don't believe that I imply it in any way. I think you're bringing up a different nakuda. You're adding on to. Okay, fine. Okay. So I think here we have a very nice vart. Haha, got it? Pun intended. Okay? Very, very interesting. Okay, beautiful. Okay. Let's go on. Okay, because I'm in the middle of talking about Yeravam, who said, Mipia Kosh Baruch, which made me think of Me'asham Yatzah Hadavar, which made me think of why are they Zocha to the Bracha that you give a Kala. Okay, but Amar Kosh Baruch, who, so what is the reward? Hador Ov Devo Dezarach. This generation are idol worshippers. They're idol worshippers. Virosh Hador Ov Devo Dezarach. The whole generation of Yeravam, they ended up being Zocha, Rachmana Litzlan, to Galus Yisrael. The whole generation is idol worshippers. Ach, Bavur Shalo Kiba Lashon Har, but because the wicked king Yeravam did not accept Lashon Har, Lachain, Osan Ha'ayaros from the word ear. Therefore, those cities, Shalo Kavash Yoshua Benun, that Yoshua Benun did not conquer, Emsor Tachas Yado, he will be Zocha to rule them, Kamosha Kasav, as it says in Malachim, who Heshuv Eskevol Yisrael. He reestablished the boundaries of Israel. So the power we have seen of not accepting Lashon Hara, being a person of chen, evoking Hashem's rachmim, literally has the power to bring Yeshuas for the person themselves, and also for the people as well. Umizei Yavin Kol Adam. And from this, every discerning man should understand. Im Yez Zahir B'yemei Chayav, if he will be on guard during the duration of his life, Milakava Lashon Hara, from accepting Lashon Hara. Umimela, B'vadayi Zahir Gam Kein Milisapra Lashon Hara. First of all, you shouldn't be Mekava Lashon Hara. Then you should also be Nare Misapra Lashon Hara. V'chal Anyanim Ha'elu Heimamish Kameis Mitzvah. Look what he says. These matters of being Mekava Lashon Hara, accepting Lashon Hara, being Misapra Lashon Hara, speaking Lashon Hara, are like mace mitzvah. It is translated as neglected mitzvos. But when you literally translate mace mitzvah, it means a dead mitzvah. Mm-hmm. It's something that, you know, just like you don't pay attention to speak to a dead person, because you can't. I'm not telling anybody to go down by kfarim. I mean, like a maisa, right? So too, these mitzvahs are like a mace mitzvah. They're a dead mitzvah, something that people don't pay attention to, something that people neglect, something that people don't think about. That you're not involved within your daily life with a mace. Rahman Sallallahu. So too, people don't bother to be involved in this. Look at the degree to which we have neglected this entire category which life depends upon. Moshe Kasub Sefer Chasidim, as it says in Sefer Chasidim, Bevadai Yisakeo Shem Yisparach V'yazmino Inyanim Elyonim. Certainly Hashem will make him meritorious. Meritorious, how do you say it? Yep. And he will prepare for him elevated high matters. When you follow on the proper path, you're not makabel, you're not misaper. Remember we said, mitzvah goreres mitzvah. So Hashem will prepare for you Inyanim, and you will have true simcha, not only in this world, but also in next. All of this is alluded to in the Pasuk in Mishlei. Lahan chil ohava yesh. I can bequeath anything. I will bestow anything upon those who love me. Ohavai. Sheyesh sugulos nechmados v'yar kosh baruch hu. There are precious treasures or opportunities, if you will, in the hands of a kosh baruch hu. Interesting. Nechmad, the first two words are noach. Okay, and backwards there again we have chen. She'ein ha'olam mivinim aleihem. They're so beautiful. They're beyond the understanding of human beings. So the reward for shmiras ha'lashon, with everything that it encompasses, not only lashon hara, but again, the ka'as, the gaiva, the onastram, the habanas panim, the leitzanas, v'chol dibur asur, the reward is tremendous skulas nechmados, skulas of chayin, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepares. You can't even comprehend how great they are. V'amar, shezeh shomer HaKadosh Baruch Hu lahanchil osam lavam, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu guards those skulas and those opportunities for those who love him. So I'm going to say the story they said I was going to start with, that obviously I didn't start with. Mm-hmm. 1 second, I have to sneeze, but when you say that, you know what happens when you have to sneeze, say you have to sneeze. Excuse me. My friend told me that if you look at the light when you have to sneeze, you know sometimes you have to sneeze and then you can't? If you look at the light, you sneeze. It works. Okay. So, we're learning about mitzvah goreres mitzvah. I actually had the sense to say last class, we never got to. So I'm calling from the Sefer of Zera Shimshon, compiled. It's an 18th century Rav of Shimshon Chaim Nachmani, who compiled this Vartlach on the Torah, and then Rav Nachman Seltzer brings the insights to us, and then stories. So mitzvah goreres mitzvah, and how precious the mitzvah should really be to us, that we are in this physical world, but the preciousness of mitzvahs cultivates our next world. Like the Chavetz Chaim says, you will have pleasure in this world and in the next world. So this is a story about a person, Rabbi Freilach. Okay? So he was called to go be a mashkiach in Pasco, Washington. Okay, a remote place in Pasco, Washington. There's a cranberry factory out there. They need a mashkiach a few days. Can you go? So he checks his calendar and he says, Rabbi Freilach says, I can go. Okay, so he got on a flight from Chicago to Pasco, Washington. And he describes what Pasco, Washington is. And the most direct route is you have to fly through Seattle, Washington. Okay. He's going through Seattle, Washington. En route to Seattle, a major snowstorm began to blanket the city. We landed in Seattle. There was snow coming down in the sheets. He reached the gate to Pasco, and he glanced at the monitor above the gate, Pasco, Washington, and he didn't want to spend the night in Seattle. It's a short flight, so they put him on a small little plane. Even though it was snowing, they said, he's struggling up the slippery stairs onto the small plane with the snow falling on me, and they told him at the gate, your carry-on has to go under the plane. So he says, if this would have been a normal day or a normal time, not during a snowstorm, not when I was under so much pressure, I would have said, I need to remove my tefillin from my carry-on. I never take a chance with my tefillin. But I didn't have time, and I'm going up the gate, and it's a snowstorm. So I'm sure that I retrieved my carry-on when we landed in Pasco. I gave her my carry-on. So I won't describe the flight to you. Suffice it to say, I know how a ping pong ball feels. I disembarked from the plane and I said, can I have my carry-on? Sir, you have to pick it up inside at the baggage claim. The entire airport, I thought, has three planes. There's probably 50 people and three cows in the entire complex. I have to go to the baggage claim. Fine. I went to the baggage claim. I felt very uneasy. We stand around and nothing is happening. No baggage. So I go to the man at the counter and I just decided to wait there. Okay. Anyway, there's no luggage coming out. I wasted not a moment. I go to the dead talk counter. There's no luggage. Some stranger must have taken my luggage. And I realize I'm in Pasco, Washington without filling. What should I do? It's still the nighttime. You're going to have to get the last flight out of Seattle, he told himself. And go back to Seattle, out of Pasco, go back to Seattle, because in Seattle you're going to be able to find tefillin. So he walked back to departures. And he's telling to himself, and it's in italics, the way that he's talking to himself, you're about to board a flight at the last possible minute. They could charge you $500 for the flight back to Seattle from Pasco. It's a lot of money. I ignored the voice. I carried on. What if those two flights end up costing you $1,500? Then I'll just have to pay, I told myself, $1,500 for the privilege of putting on tefillin tomorrow morning. 5 seconds later, the voice again. What if it costs you $2,000? Who remembers the insight we share from of Eli Melech Biderman? When a person is going to be Ola Leregel, the Pasuk says, Ma'yafo pa'amacha bena alayim bas nadi from Shir Shirim. How beautiful are your steps and your shoes. And the Gemara says, how beautiful are your steps and your shoes, daughter of princess. This refers to those being Ola Leregel. So Biderman says, what's more precious to Hashem? When they're being Ola Leregel, when they get to the Beis HaMikdash and they take off their shoes in the moment of ecstasy and they could see Hashem Sashkacha and they have no doubts. What's more beautiful to Hashem? The moment of being Ola Leregel when you're walking. Why? Because when you're walking, Ma'yafo pa'amecha b'na'alayim basnadiv, how beautiful are your steps in your shoes? Why is that more precious to Hashem? Because what happens on the walk? Maybe I should go home. It's so far. What's going to happen to my fields? What's going to happen to my children? Maybe a robber will come. Maybe I should go. So you tell yourself, keep going. And then 5 seconds later, the voice comes back. And that's what I thought Sarva. Might cost you 500. I'm going to keep going. Might cost you 1500. Might cost you $2,000. So I get to the Delta counter and I say, listen, I need to buy a flight back to Seattle. So she said, aren't you a passenger who just disembarked from the plane? Yes, but someone took my bag. There's something really important. I have to get back to Seattle. Wait a minute, sir. We have your bag. You have my bag? Yes. It was floating around ownerless, so we took it from the belt. I'm glad you tracked us down. Me too. It was true in the end, I didn't have to spend additional money on the mitzvah. But the fact remained, I was willing to spend as much as I needed to put on tefillin the next morning. As Rav Shimshon David Pinchas writes, he quotes Rav Pinchas many times throughout his farm, if you stop learning in the middle of a sugya and go get yourself a piece of pizza, then your daf gemara is worth the price of a piece of pizza. It's a scary thought. On the other hand, if you're willing to spend $2,000 to put on tefillin, that's the value of your mitzvah in Shemayim. Multiply that by the days of the weeks and the weeks of the year and all the years that you put on tefillin. It's a lot of money. And you know what? I was proud of myself. And I told myself, Binyamin, your tefillin will stay with you from now on, no matter what. What's so beautiful is the PS at the end of the story, that because we were talking about mitzvah goreis mitzvah, and the opportunity that we bring when we do something positive, not only for ourselves, Noach saved himself, but Esther ended up saving all of Klal Yisrael, and the mitzvah there, and Besuel and Lavan, and recognize, the first thing he says, May Hashem Yatzadavar. Then after, Besuel has doubts, and he doesn't want to send her, so the angel comes and puts him to death, so he shouldn't prevent the shirach. But Lamaisa, in the moment, his tzidkus emerges, some spark within him, and what does he say? Yom Hashem. And he was Zocha to Rivka. It happened again not long afterward. This time the occasion was a flight to Idaho. The airline told me I have to still my carry-on, but I said, 1 minute, I took out my tefillin. I wasn't nervous, even if I lost my carry-on, I had my tefillin. So there I am, strolling down the long corridors at the Idaho airport, tallest bag in hand, and I see three tough-looking, dark-skinned individuals of Middle Eastern appearance who were glaring in my direction. I thought to myself, what are a bunch of Muslims doing here in Idaho? I thought, they were feeling particularly religious or passionate at the moment. And then I heard them say to each other, Tagidli, Re'ata ma yesh lo biyad? Do you see what he's holding in his hand? Kein, ze talit v'tfilin. Ata yodea kama zman lo hinachti tfilin. He overhears these three people talking. The next time this happened to him, so they were Muslims, glory be. I interrupted them. Excuse me, gentlemen. I couldn't help overhearing your conversation. Can I offer you a chance to use my tefillin? They were very glad to accept my offer. The four of us congregated in one of the empty gates with my three newfound friends, eager and emotional, and they put on tefillin. So that's my story. It's a story about the price of a mitzvah. And we should figure out for ourselves what mitzvahs are worth to us. And I know it's about film, but it has such a powerful impact because every time we open our mouths to speak, whether it's a davar tov or davar ra, we should consider the price and the cost of the mitzvah, not only for ourselves, but the impact that ultimately has on somebody else. And the Chafetz Chaim says, we just learned in this chapter, mitzvah goreis mitzvah. He doesn't use those exact words, but there are tarryag, there are 613 treasures in your treasure trove, and you need to unlock them. And the way to unlock them is by doing one good deed, a mitzvah leads to the power of another. So that's my story, because the more we're willing to pay down here, the more they'll be worth it for us up there. Everything has a parallel. Everything we do in the physical realm has a mirror image in the ruchnius realm. And the choice is really up to us. Yes?
Can I just share one story that happened to me last week?
Wait, start again.
Can I just share one story that happened to me last week?
Story, go ahead.
You know, I was sitting on a beach somewhere and I was the only Jew by myself on a chair.
Last week?
Last week. I know, I didn't get much of a tan. I was sitting on a beach.
You have the wrong season.
And I was fully dressed and it was really hot. And I'm thinking to myself, who knows the difference if I'm wearing these stockings or not? Mm-hmm. Like, my feet are in the sand, and I had a beautiful, like, one of these pretty flowy dresses, and my temples on. I'm thinking, I have blonde hair underneath here. I always like it to get light. And I'm thinking, who would really know the difference if I slid my temple down? I was like, really, no Jews there. And I'm like, obviously I'm not, but like, I must admit these thoughts are going through my head at the time. And all of a sudden, this man waves, and I think, oh, he must be waving to the person next to me. And he comes over to me, and he has a mug and David.
And he comes over to you and...
He comes over to me and he's wearing like a mug and David.
A mug and David.
And he says, Yehudia? And I said, yeah. And he goes... And he went on and on and on. He was from Mexico and he's so excited to see another Jew. Oh, and wow. You could just see that this man, like, I did something for this man, you know?
Wow.
Said, okay, Hashem.
Isn't that amazing?
Isn't that amazing?
amazing?
It was amazing. It was
it's so beautiful, it's because it's not just the story that I'm reading you. It's not just what the Chafetz Chaim is saying, but the impact we have through our actions. You don't know how it impacts people around you. Even when you're not trying to do something amazing, you don't know when you're doing something that like mamash muv shamayim. And the way that that person could be inspired, who knows what it could possibly...
I felt like
it was like a kiss from
Hashem. It really was.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Right. It's very beautiful. Wow, exactly. Thank you. You know, my boy sometimes walked to my brother who lives about a 10-minute walk away. It's like a 2-minute drive and 10-minute walk. And I met someone who told me, they're turning 12, can I know her very soon? And she told me, you know, I always see your boys walking that way. I said, they go to my brother. And she said to me, she named the son, she said, he walks like such a mensch. My sister said to me, and I said to him, you don't even realize in the way that you walk in the street, in the way you dress, in the way you talk, you don't know who's watching, you don't know what they're saying, and we have an impact not only, and imagine Lahefech, if he knew that you were Jewish, which he obviously did, and he saw you making a Chilul Hashem, the opposite, he wouldn't have come over blowing kisses, the opposite effect. It's very, we have to try to remember that the chain that we live by can evoke either great rachamim, as Targum Uncle says, not only for us. Why were they zochel to the orasim chavisas and vikor? It all started with her being a person of chayin. Or rachman alatzlan lahafach. And Yeravim was a rasha. Hashem says he didn't accept the lashon hara and he's going to be rewarded. Big avoda. Any questions or comments? Okay. So we're going to stop in that say for now and we're just going to go on here. So this is interesting. He's starting a new topic, so to speak, in terms of new halachas, and that's problem students. I know somebody who was a difficult student, if you will, whatever, and the Rebbe made them write out 200 times, I will not be a donkey in class. Okay, as a child in elementary school, and another word for donkey, you can imagine the way all the kids mocked and made fun of. And I'm not a mechanech in a classroom, and they have tremendous mesiras nefesh. Mechanech are children, and it is not easy at all. There still has to be a tremendous sensitivity, and it's not so partial when it comes to these inyanim of Lashon Hara and Shmir Salashon, specifically in regard to children, especially. Okay, problem students. The dedicated teacher often finds it necessary. Did anyone see my son showed it to me? A 2-minute clip, 2.5-minute clip on Torah Anytime of Weinberger?
Yeah, I have it on my phone here.
So it's Kedai talking about... The reason I brought this up is because this heading is problem students. Right? It's amazing. What he says is, I mean, if you didn't see it, it's worth having it sent to you, okay? It's worth having it sent to you. And one of the things he's saying is that the mechanchim who will not accept these problem children, I'm putting that in quotes, or can say there's no room in our yeshiva. He says, I want to know how you were when you were 17. I want to know how you were when 18. You don't remember what it's like to be a kid? Pull out your record. Tell me, were you perfect? Who does he give example of in the Gemara? My son told me because he wasn't... I don't remember.
Reish Lakish.
Would we, any of us have accepted Reish Lakish for us? He's talking about Shidduchim based on his past. So it's very, very Kedai, and it's a strong Masra Haska. And he's saying that we can't. What you really said, how could we write people off? What were you like when you were a kid? How could you write anyone off and say, I don't have room for them in my yeshiva? It's unbelievable. Okay, the dedicated teacher, I brought this up because this is called Problem Students. The dedicated teacher often finds it necessary to discuss the progress and difficulties of students with parents, colleagues, principal. A lack of clear guidelines with regard to Lashon Hara can create a free-for-all environment. By the way, this isn't only true of teachers in a classroom. This is true of anybody who needs to discuss, even another child, with somebody else. And if you don't have guidelines, it can become, quote, a free-for-all atmosphere where people talk about anyone with anyone. Or the other extreme, a simplistic approach to Shmir Salashim, which could inhibit the effectiveness of the teacher. So it goes both ways. It can't be a free-for-all. But on the other hand, there are things that really have to be discussed. And again, this isn't only for teachers. This is for parents. This is for grandparents. This is perhaps for neighbors. Generally speaking, the area of chinuch constitutes a constructive purpose, which would permit relating negative information concerning a student. So I guess a teacher to a principal and something we're working with Shem Shemaim, and it's a to'alas. However, the specific conditions which permit speaking negatively must never be overlooked. So there are still conditions. It still cannot be a free-for-all. First of all, verification of craft. Sorry. Verification of facts is crucial. And again, that's with anything in life. Remember Rabbi White's reply to me, it can't be hearsay. You have to know that the negative behavior, the behavior that needs to be rectified, whatever you want to call it, actually happened, not hearsay. Verification of facts is crucial. A teacher to play amateur psychologist and hastily diagnose the student as having a complex disability without pursuing the matter properly is reckless. And the consequences can be devastating. And I know a case like this where teachers wanted to put the child on medication. There was no diagnosis. There was no investigation. It was a child who was disrupting the class, so to speak, to a certain degree. And Medicaid. And this can be devastating. To communicate one's evaluation under such circumstances would be hotzah shema. So to make an uninformed, uneducated diagnosis or decision and then to go tell other people, imagine what you do to a person's reputation. A person also, not just for a child. Imagine you do to somebody's reputation to go around saying, you know this to be fact, and you know this to be reality, and you haven't done an investigation, you haven't consulted with medical personnel, and all of a sudden, what have you done to the person? It is an unfortunate fact that certain problematic children have not succeeded only as a result of having... Why can't I talk? It is an unfortunate fact that certain problematic children have not succeeded only... as a result of having been misunderstood by a teacher whose labeling tainted the image of that student in the eyes of all future teachers. It's absolutely, you know, they say the reputation precedes you. It can be the Tova, can be the other way. The most extreme example of such a matzav, Chmal Atzlan Lo'Aleinu, and I'm relating this because her family has been very, very open about it. Does anyone remember her name in Borough Park?
Malki.
I was her,
Malki Klein.
Klein, Malki Klein, Alaha Hashalom, Schusa Tagen Alinu, who I'm sure that you saw was in all the papers. Her family's been very open about it. Who Rahman al-San died of a heroin overdose, and her parents spoke about how she was rejected from schools and she couldn't find their place and she didn't find acceptance and the Mecharchim did not understand her. And they're coming out and speaking about it. They're trying to obviously bring awareness and to prevent Rahman al-San future disaster. God forbid, lo aleinu. But when a child, specifically, it's such a vulnerable time, when a child feels neglected or misunderstood or slandered or that their reputation precedes them for something that they don't even think they did. It's hard enough to be a person. It's even harder to be a kid. It's so hard to be a child. And it is unfortunate, I'm quoting, that certain problematic children have not succeeded only as a result of having been misunderstood by a teacher, and that label tainted the image of that student in the eyes of all future teachers. The ultimate example is Malki Klein, Allah HaShalom, that poor tortured neshama who couldn't find her place and who felt that schools did not understand her. Yachman and son met her end through being such a pained neshama. And we have to ask ourselves, Khalil v'chas, It's terribly frightening. You know, we're not talking about Pashat and Yalim. Are we responsible for having destroyed a person through our Lashon Hara? Is it possible that we are, that I am responsible? And again, Lashon Hara doesn't only mean Lashon Hara. We've reiterated in this class. I think every class I try and reiterate, I'm talking to myself. It's not only Lashon Hara. It's Rechilus, it's Kayas, it's Gaiva, it's Leitzanus, it's Chol, Dibur Azur, it's Hanifa, it's Sheker. It's not a neshama, and am I responsible for another neshama? Rachman al-Tzal lo aleinu. You know, we have to learn these lessons before we find ourselves in a situation where it is, God forbid, too late. 1 second, please. Okay, it continues. A teacher must make every effort to fully understand the behavior of each student. This goes true for a parent, a neighbor, a grandparent. He must not be swift to condemn. It is essential that a student feel comfortable about expressing his true feelings to his teacher in a respectable manner, of course. Okay? That's the end of this. So we're not talking about pasha things. This is so interesting. You know what's on this page? Yeravam. And the Medrash we just quoted. Not accepting Lashon Hara is an extremely great source of merit. And then it quotes exactly what we just read. That's very interesting. Okay. With no alternative, one more nakuda. I'm going to do it quickly. If after giving, I have to go to class, you have to do it quickly. If after giving a situation much thought, a teacher comes to the conclusion that a particular student has a behavioral problem or a learning problem and feels it is not possible to deal with this without the involvement of the principal or the colleagues or the parents, then he should speak without delay. So you've done the investigation and you come to the conclusion that it is an actual problem. Then we shouldn't be fools. And then you shouldn't not seek help. And again, this speaks to parents and grandparents as well. So it's not, so pasha, on the one hand, it's not a free-for-all, but on the other hand, if there really is a problem, to not seek help is also is lo samod al dam reyacha. And you're standing by quietly while your brother's blood is being shed. Constructive speech, the speaker's intent has to be purely for constructive reasons, not out of anger or frustration, which is very difficult. This could be extremely trying when the student is disruptive and frequently accepts the teacher. So when, I think parent, grandparent, when you come to the point where you feel the frustration or you feel the anger, but that's not why you're allowed to speak out. That's when you have to hold back. Difficult as it is, the teachers must not take students' behaviors personally. The disruptive student is not fighting the teacher. Listen to this last line. He's struggling within himself as he deals with the challenges of life. My brother heard a Tisha B'Av shir at the Yom Hazor of Woodmere, Rav Ephraim Goldberg, I believe, from Florida, and he said, "Be kind. People are fighting a battle you know nothing about. Be kind. People are fighting a battle you know nothing about. Ultimately, we have to elicit. If the chayin elicits rachamim in the Rebbeinu Sholem, then we should find ourselves being." Emulating the Rebbeinu Sholem and being people of chayin and rachmanis ourselves. Now, for people of rachamim, it will lead to much compassion. Compassion leads to understanding. Understanding leads to less transgression in these realms, which are literally matters of life and death. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shall bless, and we should always be zochah to see. May Hashem yatzah hadavar. Thank you, ladies. Sirs Tovos. Questions or comments? Okay.